We give you all the viral stories that are just about to drop. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please, don't let this flop. If you keep scrolling, 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 and you're never gonna stop, then please, oh please, oh please, oh please, don't let this flop. From stupid songs and dances, all the cultural advances, we will cover them from bottom to the top. Just please, oh please, oh please, oh please, I promise you'll appease our please, oh please, you please, don't let this flop.
Hi, I'm EJ Dixon.
And I'm Brittany Spanos. Welcome to Don't Let This Flop,
a podcast about TikTok and internet culture brought to you by Rolling Stone.
So this was a wild little news week that we've had.
It was a wild news week.
Generally.
I would say too wild. I would go so far as to say too wild of a news week.
Yeah, I would say too much was going on. I feel exactly. Like whoever mapped out this week gave up. You know, they were just like, you know what? Let's just throw everything at the wall and see what happens.
Their Google cow got too full.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little too much. So, I mean, let's start with one that it sort of reached apex this week, but it's something that like I've been following for a few months. So if you've been on the same side of the internet that I've been on, you've probably seen a burgeoning conspiracy floating around that Queen Elizabeth is dead. The first time I saw it was around the holidays, and she had delivered her annual Christmas message from the palace, and many of the comments were immediately trying to figure out if it was a deep fake or not. So it's like this big conspiracy theory that Queen Elizabeth has been dead for months now. And I don't know how many months people think it is. I think everyone sort of has a different theory, and it's semi-jokey, but of course it's an internet conspiracy theory, so it's not always jokey, but the idea is that the palace is like covering this up and like soft launching her death. So things heated up when it was announced that the queen had made it official for her son, Prince Charles's wife, Camilla Parker Bowles, to become queen consort after she passes. And of course, this seemed like even more of a soft launch to the conspiracy theorists that then was made seemingly official by a COVID-19 diagnosis soon after.
So here's my question.
Yes.
My question is why? Like, what do the conspiracy theorists think royal family has to benefit from by like soft launching her death?
That's the other thing. So it's like, again, like the theory has been mostly jokey. Like it's been people being like, you know, she just like hasn't been around as much. Like it seems like it's just like, it's like a mostly jokey theory. Again, there is a small pocket of the internet where I've seen take it too seriously, but I would say it's mostly jokey. So there's no real reason. There's no like real basis that, and like that's why it's kind of remained so jokey for so long, is that it's like there is no reason for them to do it. I have seen some people be like, it's like, you know, I don't know, like there's like stuff that they need to do, or just like it's easier than like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but it's just a theory that is out there. Do I believe it? Sure.
Did this extend to Philip as well?
Before
Philip died?
Yeah, people had thought that Philip was dead for years. I mean, we saw pictures of him. He looked like a walking corpse. That man was not alive.
See, that I would be more inclined to believe for exactly that reason. Like, he looked like they were Weekend at Bernie-ing him.
Yeah. So all of this took a massive turn this week because we have had Hollywood Unlocked enter the chat. So
what is Hollywood Unlocked?
Hollywood Unlocked is a celebrity news site run by Jason Lean, not of Mallrats fame, sadly. Mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, it's kind of a gossipy site. It's sort of just like a lot of celebrity news. It's not a hard news site. But on February 22nd...
It's mostly like black celebrities, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like in the same sort of circles like Bossip. So people were sort of like comparing it to the idea of like if Bossip had announced... you know, a major news event. So, so it's not, and they also would not, I don't know, there's no like, it's not a British site. Like, it's just no part of it makes sense as to why all of this happened the way it did happen this week. So on February 22nd, the site posted an exclusive news item claiming that the Queen was due to attend British Vogue EIC Edward Einenfels' wedding, but was instead found dead. And it's literally just exclusive. The Queen is dead. And in the hours following this report, many were super skeptical, of course, given Hollywood Unlocked's gossip bent, and then a follow-up press release from Kensington Palace stating that it was untrue. So, of course, though, Jason Lee, the founder of Hollywood Unlocked, stood by his sources and reporting repeatedly, even posting a Notes app statement reaffirming what had been posted on Hollywood Unlocked. So he was very, he had tweeted about it. Like, he was very much like, I trust my sources. This is real. I have been told that the queen is dead from the people at this wedding that was happening.
He doubled down.
He doubled down. He tripled down. It was like the tweet, and then he did the Notes app. He stood by this.
That was like, I can't stress enough what a ballsy move that is for literally so many reasons. Like, first of all, no journalistic publication would keep a story online for that long without revealing like something about how it had been reported and like who was corroborating this information.
They did.
If so many people were, but what did they?
Okay, so this is what happened. In the story, it's basically sources close to the royal kingdom, right? Or like the, well, royal kingdom is the use, but that's not even like the way that they call it. Anyway.
The royal family.
But they called it royal kingdom in the story, which is very funny.
and like it's a Disney movie.
I know. So it's basically enchanted. Jason's source was someone at the wedding who received a tearful phone call about the queen being dead. So this is when things get even more complicated, because that sort of becomes what unfolds next and like how we sort of like allegedly learn more about how this news was reported and what happened. So BuzzFeed did a deep dive into what the fuck went down with this Hollywood Unlocked exclusive. And according to their reporting, they kind of dig into what happened at the wedding. And it was allegedly a guest who witnessed this phone call that another guest had. And the idea that the queen, again, was supposed to be at this British Vogue EIC wedding that was happening. And like, that's how they found out that she had passed. But BuzzFeed source claims that the emotional guest was actually reacting to news that Queens of the Stone Age singer Mark Lanegan had passed, which had been reported out of Ireland that same day. So the idea was
like third hand.
Third hand, and also like the queen thing. But even that report is still, I don't know, it's still kind of like a messy report on BuzzFeed's part, where they kind of make the assumption, like they sort of are putting stuff together where they are making now the assumption. This is coming from like another UK source, like nameless UK source, that there is a connection because there was people who liked rock music and had some sort of connection to 90s rock and early 2000s rock, that is why it was Mark Lanegan that the guest was reacting to. And it's just, you know, that it's, that also seems sort of, it all seems sort of messy and like very unconfirmed on everyone's part about what this tearful phone call that allegedly happened was reacting to. And they also use a phone call between the queen and Prime Minister Boris Johnson as further proof that she's alive. But of course, there's, you know, there is no other proof other than like the palace being like there was a phone call. So it's like everything is so grain of salt with this, in the same way that anything with the royals it like are. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just everything is so messy. But it is very funny that it was somehow like Queens of the Stone Age potentially being the misunderstanding of the queen being dead.
It kind of just seems like a leap that like somebody would be reacting to the death of, like, just imagine like the other side of that call. Like, what would that person have to be saying? Like, what? The queens of the Stone Age died.
Right. It's all messy. So every part of these reports are kind of messy. And again, it's just coming from nameless UK sources who like may or may not have been at this wedding. None of it makes sense. Like it's funny because it's just like even the BuzzFeed report is still kind of as messy as the Hollywood Unlocked report in terms of sourcing. Like,
how is the royal family not like legally threatening Hollywood? Like, nobody wants to go up against the royal family in any capacity.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. I feel like because Hollywood Unlocked is, I mean, the royal family's litigious, but they're also like, I don't know, they're not super insane about it. Like, Hollywood Unlocked is probably not on the radar. This isn't the New York Times reporting it. Like, this is a random gossip site that people are already not taking seriously. I would say the majority of people online still find it silly, and no one picked up the news. Like, there wasn't, no one could confirm it. Like, you know, it was not spread widely. People weren't people weren't taking it seriously. So I feel like it's because it didn't spread widely and it wasn't like other places were picking up this news, like the Daily Mail even wasn't picking it up. Like, I feel like it's not on their radar. Mm-hmm. But I also, one of my favorite conspiracy theories about the conspiracy theory was that Meghan Markle like was the one to leak it to Hollywood Unlocked so that a black news site could get the news first that the queen died.
And this was after she gave the Oprah interview last year where she was talking about how an unidentified member of the royal family was like, concerned about what color her baby's skin was.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be a great, I love I know, that theory.
I love, love, love that theory. Because also it would make sense that she would be at that wedding. So that's like, that's the other thing is like, I don't know. I don't buy that the queen was going to be at this like fashion editor's wedding. Like, I mean, Edward is a huge deal.
He's a big deal.
But like, I don't know. The queen doesn't make a lot of public. She's not like someone who just like shows up at weddings. Like the Obamas are people who like show up at weddings, right? Like they're like sort of like the relatable kind of like, you know, like dignitaries that show up at things. But like the queen doesn't just show up at weddings. She doesn't show up at many things. So Hollywood Unlocked kept its story up for days, but it issued a retraction last weekend. The headline was something like, "Fact check 10 reasons why we believed our story that the queen had died." In it, Lee said, "Although I've never been wrong when breaking a story because this involves the queen, this is one time I would want to be. And based on Wednesday's report from the palace, I can say my sources got this wrong, and I sincerely apologize to the queen and the royal family." One thing's for sure, and this week has been a win for vengeful Princess Di stans, who still populate all corners of the internet. So when the news actually does break, whenever that happens, could be next week, could be years from now, we can definitely be certain that they'll have the most fun with it. Like this Princess Di stan who uses a video of Queen Elizabeth cutting a cake to make a comment on Princess Di's behalf.
I think I might just put a knife in.
I think that's a really good...
That's exactly what the fuck you did to Princess Diana's back, you funky pussy bitch.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Let's do Obsessed. We haven't done that in a while.
No, I don't think you understand. I'm obsessed.
So normally I would not consider being horny a life hack in itself. But I have been persuaded by this woman, Madeline Chalk, who posted a TikTok video. Actually, she's got like a whole... She's got about like 20 of these, like a series of TikTok videos detailing her theory that everybody should have exactly 5 crushes at any given time.
It means that at any point while you're single and dating, you should be able to rattle off the 5 names of your 5 crushes. And yes, it has to be exactly 5, no more, no less. I'll explain why later. As you can see, there's a spectrum. A crush can be anybody from a coworker that you flirt with occasionally, all the way down to someone that you're seeing regularly, but maybe you haven't had the exclusivity talk yet.
So basically, this is the theory. Everyone should have 5 crushes at any given time. A crush doesn't have to be like extreme. In fact, it's better if it's not. It could be anyone from a coworker to a barista who serves you coffee every day to a promising Hinge match. It should be somebody that you don't have like a deep emotional attachment to. And basically, her reasoning is that if you have exactly 5 crushes, you don't invest all of your emotional energy into one person you have a crush on. So you're less likely to do things like obsess or ignore red flags, etc. Like if you have 5 crushes, then you take dating in general a lot less seriously and it's a lot more fun. And before you ask, you can have like a number one crush. You can have somebody who's like at the top of the list, but you can't forget about the other 4. That's crucial until you know where you stand with number one, until you like are basically like in a monogamous committed relationship with number one. So how do you feel about this theory?
I like it. I feel like it's like, you know, I feel like it works pretty well. I think even trying to like think of, I feel like I've never like counted how many crushes I have. I feel like I always have a lot of crushes at once. So like, I like the idea of like structure to it, you know, in that sense where it's kind of like this idea of like having like that set sort of group of crushes that you have at one time. But I like it. I like it. I feel like dating should sort of, be fun. And I feel like that helps make it more fun and less stressful. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea for single people, but I also think it's a great idea for people in committed relationships too, which she doesn't really talk about. Like, I've been married for 5 years and I still have extremely casual. I don't know if I would go so far as to call them crushes, but like there are people I see, bump into who I think are hot and they never extend beyond oh, I think this person is hot.
Yeah.
These aren't people I know super well. Often I don't even know their full names.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, he's in the next room while I'm talking right now. So I feel a little weird talking about this in front of him. But I mean, we're extremely open about other people we find attractive. Yeah. And I honestly think that's healthy for a relationship. Not to say my relationship is a paragon of strength and emotional fortitude.
It's normal.
But it's it's very normal. I can't stand when people in relationships are you think other people are hot and you and your husband talk about that. Don't they get jealous? No, it's literally the least emotional investment in the world to say oh, that person's
it's hot. Such a toxic way of looking at it, because I think it creates the idea that you enter a relationship and you never have any sort of attraction towards another human again. That's just not how it works. That's just not how life works. You can think someone's hot or you can think someone's cool and have that crush on them in that way, but that's just, it's perfectly fine. I don't know, I think it forces people to feel jealousy is the only mode of monogamy, or the only way to make it work is to be jealous of the idea that your partner has other crushes. So yeah, it makes sense that even no matter how long you're married, you're gonna have other crushes or find other people attractive. It's just normal. It's just what happens. People are hot. It's such a traditionalist way of looking at it. I've had so many friends over the years, especially coming from the Midwest and coming from a place where all of there's so much shame around the idea of dating around, or so much shame around the idea of porn or anything. It was just so toxic all the time, where I just see I don't know, people I know just get so mortified and jealous at the fact that they were dating people who had exes, or dating people who had any sort of sexual attraction to anything, or I don't know. It's just calm down. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Who the fuck cares?
Yeah. If your boyfriend finds Megan Fox hot, so does everyone in the fucking world.
Yes. Yes. It's really a reflection of deep internalized shame and insecurity.
Yeah. It's very much about insecurity. It's very much it's just a lot of the ways that we're taught to look at sex and think about sex, where it's meant to be this puritanical form. But it's just I don't know, people are horny. Let people be horny. I don't know. I can't imagine.
Let people be horny.
I can't imagine shaming a partner for watching porn, or watching or having a crush on a celebrity or someone else. I don't know. Don't be a dick about it. And we're good. As long as they're not being I wish you looked more Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. As long as it doesn't infiltrate your actual real world relationship in any way, which it almost never does.
Right.
Almost never. Then it's I think it's a sign of stability, honestly.
Yeah.
In a relationship, if you're open enough to say that you're attracted to other people, as long as it doesn't go further than
open
that.
And secure enough to do that.
Yeah. So I guess we're going to talk about our five crushes.
I know. I've been thinking about it. I don't even think I have five crushes. I have one really big crush, and then I have a couple of little crushes, I guess. So it's I feel I've already failed at the five crush theory.
So you have the number one. You have your MVP.
Yeah. And then I have one guy I'm talking to on through an app, not Raya, sadly. Just annoying. Just useless to me.
It's not John Mayer.
Yeah.
Or Matthew Perry.
It's not. I have a Twitter crush. I have I don't know. I have a crush on an old fling. Where we're friendly now, but I'm
Oh, that's not allowed. You can't do that.
Oh, well.
It can't be an ex. It can't be anybody that you have an emotional attachment to. There are all these like requirements that you laid out.
It's not like an emotional attachment though. Mm-hmm. It was just like, I don't know, we hooked up years ago and then we are friends. Now I'm like, oh, that's a cute crush. That's about it.
I think that's five. That's probably five in total.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'm failing at it right now.
I feel like mine can be divided into Twitter crushes and like dog parent crushes, which is really like a very sad reflection of how limited my social sphere is. Because that's literally all the only interactions I have are with people on social media or walking my dog. Yeah, there's a guy in my building who's cute, who I don't even know his name, which I think is the perfect crush.
Oh, I do have a barista crush. That's the other one.
Where do they work? Where do they work?
A coffee shop near my apartment. I'm not going to dox where I live, but
do you talk or is it
when I get my coffee? I always look insane when I go show up there, though. I very rarely look cute. That's the thing. Like I show up in like yoga pants and a giant sweater and my hair in a bun. One time I showed up in a bonnet. I really was giving up that day. I was having a bad day. I had like a bonnet and like a hoodie on. I was just like,
yeah, I think that's smart.
Can I count Jack Harlow as one of my crushes? Because I do think that if we met.
No, it can't be celebrities.
Okay, but I do think that if we met, we'd fall in love.
You don't understand. Like, I think that about like half of the celebrities that are like famous.
I think that today. Like Jack Harlow is more attainable than he should be to me.
I feel that way about Timothée Chalamet, except like me 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like if I met Timothée Chalamet 10 years ago, like I am convinced that we would have, well, 15 years ago, because I was with my husband 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Not that we have to stick with the parameters of like reality for this, but like I am convinced I would have dated Timothée Chalamet when I was like in my late teens.
Yeah.
And I that might be a toxic trait, but like I think it's good to love yourself.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I think like, you know, if me and Jack Harlow met, if I were in the audience at one of his concerts, he would immediately see me and fall in love. Like, I don't know. I just, something about it. I just know.
Do you have like a Wattpad account where you?
I don't need a Wattpad when it's my reality, EJ. I don't need to write fan fiction when this is actually going to happen. Like, I don't know.
So as Brittany mentioned earlier, a lot of news this week. Too much, arguably. Mm-hmm. The other major thing that happened this week is that Russia invaded Ukraine. And everyone is absolutely terrified because we could potentially be on the verge of World War III. But don't worry, because the celebs are on it.
Dear President Vladimir Putin, I'm so sorry that I was not your mother. If I was your mother, you would have been so loved, held in the arms of joyous light.
Unfortunately, Hollywood Unlocked did not break the news of...
Listen, I'm telling you, there's going to be a New Yorker profile on them in 6 months. I guarantee.
Yeah.
I guarantee he's going to be vindicated. Yeah. But Annalyn McCord of 90210 reboot fame, which I did not watch. I don't know if you watched it.
I watched like maybe a couple episodes in the first season. I did not make it through beyond that.
It was quite terrible.
Yeah.
I do remember her showing up, like, I would Pinterest a lot of her outfits because she wore very, like, an indie sleaze. She was, like, an indie sleaze poster girl for, like, 6 months in 2009, 2010. She would wear, like, the ripped tights and the, you know, slinky tops and stuff. So I remember pinning a lot of her outfits.
Yeah.
But completely had forgotten about her up until now. And she posted this spoken word poem envisioning what the world would have been like had she been Putin's mother.
Sure.
Sure. This is so confusing to me. I mean, the thing that's most confusing to me is why this is still up. The tweet is still up.
Well, okay. Did you go through her Twitter and Instagram like I did yesterday?
I did. Yes, a little.
Okay.
Bit. I don't know. You probably did more.
I did. I watched every video. That's just a lot of content that she makes. So she wrote a poem about if she were president, and it was about. After George Floyd had been shot, and it was like this poem about how if she were president, she would sit down with Derek Chauvin, who shot George Floyd, and like reprimand him and explain to him.
Are you serious?
And explain to him why he, like, what he did was awful, and explain racism to him. So that was another video she did. There was another video that was called hashtag end slavery. And do you want to guess what the slavery she was talking about is?
So I know she's an anti-trafficking activist. So I'm assuming, is it like porn or sex work or something?
No,
related
it was
to
about
that?
The slavery of the mind.
That's so much better.
The video. Well, the thing is, I was so confused because it's like pinned on her profile, and the video itself is like her giving like a talk somewhere, and she's like talking. It starts off her talking about her sexual trauma, but then she's talking about like being glad she was raped and how like she's like learned to sort of like, I don't know, like not have shame around these things. And then so the end slavery was, I thought it would eventually get to human trafficking because that is a big part of what she like does now, is sort of like do like activism around that. But it was not at all. And it was just like a lot of, the video is really awful. It's like a video, like it's like clips of her with just like black and brown children, and hugging them and teaching them yoga. And then it's her talking about ending the slavery of the mind. And I was like, this is, it was certainly a choice. And then I watched a lot of her Instagram videos. She has a lot of poems. She loves a poem. I went deep into it. I sort of just like had a deep Annalyn McCord spiral.
So this is her brand now. Like, she's pivoted from being like a 2010s it girl to being like a problematic white savior.
Yeah, she. It seems like she's had like a spirituality journey. And, you know, I think she's also struggled with a lot of like trauma and PTSD in her life, and sort of like has found herself on this like activism journey that has led her to writing bad poems for Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, that there's part of this that really, like, I feel kind of bad making fun of her, that she's being roasted so much, because, you know, it, like you mentioned, she has gone through a lot of trauma. Like, she's been very open about, like, having dissociative identity disorder and, you know, all the sexual trauma that she's been through. And it does seem like her heart is in the right place. Like, looking, that video is so earnest, you know? Like, watching that, like, you can tell that she, like, really felt... She really feels very strongly about things.
Why does it rhyme? I was like, not this Dr. Seuss, oh, the places you'll go.
Because she's not a good poet. She's not a good poet, Brittany. She's not a good writer. Rough. But, you know, not everybody can be Amanda Gorman. Not everybody can be Michael Collins. Those are literally the only two poets I know. but, yeah, I mean, she was roasted. That tweet has, like, I think, like, 150,000 quote tweets, which is never good.
Yeah.
Because I guess, you know, anyone who sees headlines about Putin invading Ukraine and thinks, you know, the world would have been better if I had been Putin's mother needs to be taken down a few pegs. But, like, it's far from the only cringe reaction that a celebrity had.
Oh, yeah. To the news. I mean, the celebs were truly at it again.
The celebs were at it again. Andy Cohen... I think the Andy Cohen thing was worse, honestly.
Oh, that was embarrassing on so many levels.
When he posted the Instagram story of his Wordle guess, which he didn't even enter, so it wasn't a real guess.
It's when I muted Wordle on Twitter, I knew this would be the conclusion that we would get to.
You foresaw
something
this?
Something about it. I also like, I hate games, so I didn't want to see everyone's Wordle tweets all the time. But like... I was just like, you know what? This is going to lead to something embarrassing.
And it did. This was the ultimate culmination.
Peace. Thank you.
I think that was worse than the Annalyn McCord poem. I think arguably John Cena, who is following me on Twitter, by the way, I just found out.
Yeah.
I fucking know why. I don't know what he could have seen about my content that he would have been like.
I also love your pronunciation. It sounds so John Cena.
I can't pronounce anything. I mean, anybody who listens to this podcast knows that, like, I do not pronounce. I don't do the research.
John Cena. No. I was just like, who's John Cena?
How do you pronounce his name?
Cena. I only know this because my friend had a huge crush on him in middle school. And I had to go see the movie The Marine that he was in. And then I also had to listen to his rap album a lot. And watch WWE with her because she was in love with him.
Is his rap album better than The Rock's debut?
It's pretty similar styles.
Yeah, I would imagine. I was thinking about this.
Under the same genre. Like, if they went on tour together, they could make a Watch the Throne of former wrestlers turn rappers. But This was like when he was still wrestling. Like this was before he like became sort of a mainstream star.
He is in this show called Peacemaker now, which I don't care about because I don't care about the Marvel Universe, like even in the slightest. Yeah. But it's on HBO Max, and he made a tweet promoting the show Peacemaker in the context of wishing the world could be more peaceful, and he used the hashtag. And I think that's arguably like, I don't know. I mean, that you like, why use the invasion of the Ukraine as like a branding attempt? Like, that's grosser than the poem to me.
I did recently have a jump scare with Peacemaker because I went to HBO Max, and you know how HBO Max, the app, kind of is like bad on TVs and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like doesn't always work. I was trying to watch Euphoria, and I thought I was hitting play on Euphoria, and then the screen changed to Peacemaker right as I was hitting play.
Oh no.
And then it started playing Peacemaker, and I was like, this is not Euphoria.
What was it? Was he like jumping out of a plane or something?
I don't know. I literally was just like, I need to turn this off as quickly as possible. And then because it was HBO Max, it took like 20 minutes to get out and actually watch Euphoria.
That's awful. I'm sorry. That sounds like a horrible experience.
It's been a tough week with me and John Cena and Peacemaker.
I mean, I kind of get it. Like, I do feel like celebrities are in a tough spot when, you know, these national or global catastrophes happen, because if they don't if they don't say anything, then they're accused of being complicit. But if they do, then they're accused of talking about something that they don't know about. So there's really like a very fine line they have to walk.
There is so much more of a demand in the last few years, and especially like with social media and like the idea of like being in touch with what's happening globally, and the idea that everyone needs to make a statement. I kind of liked when celebrities didn't say anything. I miss it. I'm nostalgic for like the pre-Trump years where I just didn't know where anyone stood on anything. Like, it was kind of nice. Like, because I always think of that, like,
but you're nosy, Brittany. You like, you're,
I'm nosy.
You're nosy. But I'm, you want to know, like, don't you?
I miss my peace. You know, like, where's the peacemaker giving me back my peace of mind? Because I would love it. But yeah, I think it was like, I don't know who made that joke where it was like no one was asking Ja Rule's take on 9/11 or something. Like, that always goes by. I was just like, I don't need it. Like, I don't need any further takes. The best tweets from like that was, it's like the best and worst. It was like so cringy when it was happening. But like The Weeknd tweeted, "Let's go," mm-hmm. in all caps, like literally as like the push notifications were coming in about a war starting, and it was to promote, like, he was like about to make a big announcement, and then it took him like 3 hours to finally be like, oh sorry, like, unfortunately I did not realize that, because
he clearly had no fucking idea. Everybody else in the world was watching with bated breath, and he didn't fucking care. He was like, all he cared about was his new music drop. I love that.
I think that's what was like makes it funny instead of being sort of just like so mortifying, because it was just like very clear that he, like, this tweet was either scheduled or he just kind of was like, he opened Twitter just to post that. And he had been teasing this announcement already for like, I think it's for some like film that he's doing. And he'd been teasing this announcement for like 24 hours. And it just like happened to be the time that he was going to drop something. And it's just like all caps, "Let's go." And it's a push notification from the New York Times that Russia has invaded Ukraine. So it was not.
It was also really funny. And, you know, people were mad at him, but, like, you shouldn't cancel somebody for being self-absorbed. Like, all celebrities are self-absorbed.
Yeah, but again, like, I also don't think it was, like, a matter of, like, the news was literally rolling in as he was tweeting it. Like, I missed all the news because I was in class. And then I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then that's what was happening.
I just want to go back to the time, to the before times when celebrities could get away with not weighing in on social issues. And I want to challenge that perspective a little bit, because had that not changed, we wouldn't have gotten Vanessa Hudgens' coked up rant about Coachella being canceled because of COVID.
People are going to die.
Which is terrible.
But isn't that
inevitable? But also,
even if everybody gets it, like, yeah, people are gonna die. It's just terrible, but like, inevitable?
That was a cultural fucking reset.
It really was. And you hate Vanessa Hudgens.
I do. I can't. I mean, I do feel very, I have like kind of like an earnest opinion about this. Like, I do feel that celebrities, especially now, like especially post-Trump, if you do not use your platform to weigh in on injustices that you see happening in the world, like, I think that's negligent, you know? Yeah. I do. I think that celebrities should be thoughtful about that. And, you know, even if the, if it's a little cringe sometimes, and even if it comes out a little fucked up sometimes, like it did with Anna Lynn McCord, like, I appreciate that she tried, you know? I appreciate that she's thinking about these things versus every other, you know, like Addison Rae, who just continued to post SponCon on Instagram. Like, I guess I see both sides to it, but I sort of fall on the side that, like, celebrities should be weighing in on these things, even if it does look, you know, a little uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, honestly, I think everyone should just take a page from Cher's book and just tweet caps lock nonsense and a string of emojis all the time, because you can't get canceled if no one knows what you're talking about.
Exactly. I mean, she is the queen. So let's do Himbo. Let's lighten the mood. Let's go to Himbo. So I know we've talked about Euphoria so much already this year, but how can we not? It's taken over the internet each week, whether it's behind the scenes drama, endless discussion of the plot, or memes, so many memes. The most shocking part of the season is who has stood out to the fans as opposed to last season, which has been like a lot of shifts in terms of like which characters and also the actors playing them have become very popular this season. So like a lot of previously minor characters have been bumped up in the storytelling, building budding fandoms around them. Like last season, everyone hated Maude Apatow's stiff Lexi performance, and now she's Queen Bee for the TikTok kids. And her character's budding new love interest, the slow-talking and earnest drug dealer Fezco, has become the new internet boyfriend. So our Himbo of the week is finally going to Angus Cloud, a man who has taken over my life. Whether he's posting his unhinged live tweets of Euphoria on Sunday night, or being goofy and seemingly completely oblivious to his own fame, consider me charmed by this adorable little ginger.
The first time being recognized by a fan, that was like, hey, are you from Euphoria? And I said, no, I'm from Oakland, but I wasn't the show yet.
He's so hot.
He's so hot. He seems very sweet. And I you know, he's also like, so similar to the actual character that he's playing in terms of just like how he kind of functions. I find that also very endearing.
Yeah, he's just kind of like a very earnest guy.
Yeah, very, very sweet. I'm very happy for his success. So congrats to you, Angus Cloud, with that old ass name. You are our Himbo of the week.
Mazel tov, Angus. Come on the podcast.
Thanks so much for listening to Don't Let This Flop This Week in TikTok, brought to you by Rolling Stone and Cumulus Podcast Network. Written and hosted by me, Brittany Spanos, and EJ Dixon. Executive produced by Jason Fine, Bridget Shelsey, and Elizabeth Garber-Paul. Edited by Dan Stein. And original music composed by Daniel Mertzler.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.